We've been talking about the fear of the Lord. It's been, I've preached 5 messages on it now. Well, isn't that lovely? He preaches on the fear of the Lord. I love listening to messages on the fear of the Lord. Really? It's scary. All right? The power of God is scary. And you gotta live right and you gotta live clean. And we've talked about this. Oh, we're talking about the holiness of God. Why? Because His power is so raw and scary. And you want to walk in those higher levels of power, you better live clean. You know, we talk about the high wire all the time. Why? Because it applies so well. There's in the higher levels of God. Is there such a thing? In the higher ways, the higher levels of God. The Bible calls it the highway of holiness. In the higher levels of God, you gotta live in a higher way. You gotta live differently than the guy on the low level. Does that mean he's not saved? Absolutely not. But what do we want here? We've been preaching a message of power in this church, and at some point, we're bumping into it. If we keep pushing, we're gonna have power in here like nobody else. We're not pushing into a patty cake gospel here. We believe God does these things. We believe God manifests Himself today in His glory and His power and His cloud and His deliverance. This is what we're believing for and we're pushing in it. Are you pushing in? Yes. I'm pushing in and I'm, it's like, don't poke the bear. You ever hear that? You know, you get to a bear and a bear can be easily upset. You don't poke him with a stick through the cage. Why? Because he might get really upset and get you and rip the cage apart and come and get you. Well, we're poking the bear with these type of messages. We're poking the bear. I don't know how good of an analogy that is with God, but we're poking into His power with the blood and with holiness and with the glory and with the fear of the Lord. And there will be a time when this fear increases on you. It's going to increase after this message today. It's going to increase on you. And I believe it has been anyway, but you'll start to recognize it when you go to open up your cabinet. And I won't talk about Twinkies, Maynard, today. But when you go to open up your cabinet or anything else you do in your regular everyday life, you're going to start to wonder, what am I scared of? And you realize it's not the same type of fear that you're scared of a rattlesnake or something. It's like this continual urgency that sits on you to change. You don't even know how to change. You're repenting for stuff. You don't even know what you're repenting for. I'm sorry. For what? That last breath I took, I'm sorry. Because you're living so holy. Okay, let me get into the word here because I want you to grab onto what I'm talking about. All right? Father, in Jesus' name, everybody pray with me now and believe that we can hear from heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask to hear from heaven this morning. We ask to hear what is the next step, what is the next level. Father, I'm asking that you change me and you change every single person in here. Bring us into the fear of the Lord in a way like never before. And then do your holy work on us so that we're completely and radically altered, that we may be what you've called us to be in the holy presence and power of the living God, and we receive it, and we'll be aware of you, not only today, but in the days to come, that you are there looking and watching and wooing us on to a greater level in your spirit and glory. And we will drop off those things. We will drop off sin and things that hold us back in Jesus' name, because you're holy. Shoo! Glory be to God forever. We have the ability to either receive words from God or not. How many times did God say that to them? I'd speak to them day and night and they'd reject my prophets. They had ears that were dull of hearing. Well, we're not dull of hearing. So if we can receive what He's saying to us, we can be profoundly affected and changed. Do you want to be changed? In this church, we're a change church. Means we're going to keep changing until the end is over. Until God just is done changing us. We don't make the decision on when we stop changing. Well, I've changed enough. I got rid of my cable. Now I'm changed. Okay, people. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the people. Did Paul change? But Paul, yet breathing out threatenings, breathing out. He was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, Saul, who became Paul, went to the high priest. Does anybody know where the Spirit of the Lord is in the Old Testament? He would come on three people: the king, the prophet, and the high priest. He went and asked the Spirit of the living God for letters to go and kill disciples of the living God. He's touching the third rail, my friend. He could have gone and asked anybody else, and he might not have had the same result. You see that? There's connectivity there. He's getting into something that he should not have been doing. He could have even blasphemed. He could have, you know, talked about people, said, oh, the Christians are terrible, and told everybody not to go over there, and blah, 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 no big deal. He went to the high priest in the presence of the living God, and he demanded letters, asked for letters that he could go and kill these or drag them out and put them in prison. He's touching something. Do you see that? Okay? Hang on to that. Went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? What I'm going to talk about today is devastation in the fear of God, being completely, utterly annihilated in the presence of God. All the stuff that you have. How many of you know Paul was a pretty good guy? I mean, he was a pretty big guy in the kingdom. If he could go in, go see the high priest. Let's go see you go talk to the president right now. You know, he'd be like, you got to go through 59 channels of security checks and, you know, all this other stuff. And then you wouldn't even get to see him. Most likely. Not a priority, but Paul was able to go in there. What I want you to see is Paul was completely annihilated and devastated. In fact, he died on the road to Damascus by the power of God coming on him, just killed him. You mean he died physically? No, his spirit man died. He became a new creature. He died. The presence and power of God literally slew him. Knocked him off his horse and killed him. He touched the third rail. We're pushing in, people. We're going to grab onto this thing. And you're probably like, you touch it first. Go on, you touch it first. Okay, I'm going in. But I'm holding your hand, too. And you know what happens with electricity, right? You touch one thing, the other person gets it if you're holding on to them. We're all going into this. You getting scared yet? This is real. The power of God is real. Remember you guys were talking about, you saw this crippled person in one of the stores out there, and you were wondering, God, why? I'm ready for the time. I'm ready for the time when I can just command this guy to get out and his arms, you know, the power is right there. This is going to happen, but you're going to have to live this way, which is death. Does that make sense? You got to live the death to self. This is what it is, but how do you die? How are you devastated in the fear of God? Now, I will share this story. Don't do this at home. Don't try, you know, they have those TV shows where they put the disclaimer up on the front. You know, they say, don't try this at home. Well, don't try this at home. I put this on a disclaimer. This was after I got out. I think I got out of Rhema, so I was probably 18 years old or something like that. Still a young kid. You still look like a young kid. Yeah, well, thank you. Appreciate that. Young kid, I'm out. I'm visiting my mother in Pennsylvania, and this was in the hill country of Pennsylvania. And there's nothing out there, by the way, just roads and streams and, I don't know, chickens. What's out there? Stuff you don't see in the city. Well, I'm jogging. I used to jog back then. Not a pretty sight, but I did, really. And I jog. So I'm out there. Really, it was just an excuse to get away from, you know, people in the house and the chickens. So I'm out running along, and as I'm going along, I see these high power wires reaching over the road and going over the stream down there, you know, and I could do one or two. I go down, play in the stream, skip some rocks, or I could go climb this tower. Nobody's out there, right? Nobody is out there. And so I'm thinking, well, I realize this is probably illegal, right? In fact, I'm sure there were signs, no climbing. But nobody was out there. Once again, don't try this at home or in Pennsylvania or anywhere. So I start climbing it up. And normally, which seemed odd to me, if they didn't want you to climb it, why did they have the bars all the way to the ground? Normally, they're, you know, 15 feet up, so you can't jump up and grab. These went all the way to the ground. Must be a Pennsylvania thing. So I start climbing up this. And there's probably, you know, ever see how they're built? They almost look like a giant erector set thing. Yeah, or, you know. So here, the base comes up pretty big, and there's like three sections, and then the arms stretch out. Big highway. And by that time, believe me, you're way up there if you got that far. I didn't get that far. In fact, I got up to the first level. The first level, and I had in my head, oh, I'm going up to the next level. But you know how high up the first level is? It doesn't look bad from the ground, but when you're up there, ah. And so I'm there on the first level. I'm trying to get my bearings and like, oh, this isn't so bad. I'm, you know, it's pretty solid. It's not going to fall over, right? Everything was solid. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to start going up. And as I started to go up, just starting to go up to the next level, I felt something happen to me I'd never felt before. I felt fear come into me, and I started to lose my strength. Well, that's not good when you're holding on to something. Fear hitting you, and you start to lose your strength. Well, that's the stupidest thing. You should, if you're afraid, wouldn't you hold on more tightly? Wouldn't you? But I didn't, and I realized I couldn't go up anymore because something was happening to me. Fear was coming on me that was causing me not to be able to function normally. If that was on the ground, I wouldn't have any fear. I could climb up a ladder and skip around or whatever. But I was up there, and I felt that fear come on. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Fear coming on you, and it almost paralyzes you. You become a duh. That's why you'll see on the evening news, and you'll see some kid who's climbed up there to the third one, and he can't even move. He's like, I can't move. Climb down. That doesn't even make sense anymore to him. They don't understand climb down. They're like paralyzed with fear. This is the fear of the Lord, my friend. I didn't get up to the wire. I knew enough not to touch the wire. But there I was, paralyzed, and I knew enough that I can't go up any farther. That would be really bad. You get up there, and then you lose your strength. What's going to happen? You're going to fall down. Okay. So, here we have, well, what does that have to do with this? The destroying fear of God, the annihilating fear of the Lord. It makes you lose all of your strength. It makes you lose everything that you held on before. Paul, in this instance, it didn't matter anymore that he had letters to do this. Right? He'd probably be trying to hide them if he could, but nothing mattered. He was pretty much, He was slain in the presence of God. All of his past, all of his future, none of it mattered anymore because there he was. You talk about headlights coming at you for a deer in the road. You wonder, well, move. Go on. Move away. Get out of the road. And they can't. They're just paralyzed. That what would normally be their reaction, right? You go up to a deer normally and you go, get out of here. And they go, they run off into the woods. Right? Why when you shine a light on them? Ooh, they must think that that's it. Go towards the light. And so there they sit. They're mesmerized by this light. I don't know what to do. This has a lot of bearing on what we're talking about. Really. This means when you in the presence of God, you get slain to all of the things. It doesn't matter anymore. You lose your inhibitions. You don't care about tomorrow. You don't care about the past. You don't care about anything. It's just the presence of God coming on you and basically ruining you. Isn't that nice? Isn't it a wonderful message? You shall be ruined in the presence of God. Okay. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. Why? The fear of God slew him. Does that make sense? And he lay there, and he, fearing and trembling, said, Lord, what will you have me do? Nothing else mattered. His letters didn't matter. Anything he had, his plans and purposes that he was going on. He had plans. He had purposes. He was on a mission from the high priest. And the ability to do it. And that was all gone. Where? In the fear of the Lord. You want to live in the fear of the Lord? Well, get ready to live without plans. Get ready to live without purpose. You got to understand, this goes crosswise with so many sound biblical principles of success. But we're not talking about biblical principles of success. We're talking about the power of the living God, which is success. When you put that as your point, this is what we want. We want God's power here in manifestation. What else matters? Your plan? I don't think so. Not as when the power of God shows up. You may have a plan up to that point. Get ready to be ruined. Just plain destroyed in the presence and the fear of the Lord. Well, brother, I don't know if this sounds very good. I'm telling you, this isn't for everybody. It's not. We're not preaching patty cake Christianity here. Have you noticed that? I've never once met you by the door and patty caked you. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Other people's things say goads. All that that is a instrument you use to poke cattle along. Not a gourd, by the way. Unless you're poking the cattle with a gourd, maybe that works, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, so it would be hard for Saul to keep going in the direction he was going again. He was kicking against something that pricked him, okay? And I find it curious that a lot of times now they'll use electric sticks. It gives them a little zap. You don't want to keep kicking against that because the power keeps getting increased and increased, and pretty soon you're kicking against something that's going to kill you, my friend. We're going to be killed in the presence of God. Saul was, well, what do you mean? Everything he had, his whole life, it was completely wrecked and ruined right there in the presence of God. And I'm going to show you a little bit later that we can choose to do this. He didn't choose this, did he? It's like he bumbled into it. On the road to Damascus, people probably built churches there looking for the same thing. And, you know, they're looking in the wrong direction. A voice came from heaven. A light came from heaven. We can have the same light here. We can have the same voice here, and it will do the same thing. It'll ruin you, and it'll wreck all of that you are, except for what God is doing in you. That sounds extreme. That sounds like extreme change. It is. Welcome to the Bible. It's an extreme book. Everything about it is extreme. Take up your cross and follow me. That's extreme. What do you mean take up a, you got a real cross and you're telling me to take up my cross? That's extreme. This is extreme. Poor Paul. Power of God killed him basically on the road. You know, that's why God gave him a new name. He couldn't even see for 3 days. Let's just read a little more here. Okay, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. He didn't say he was persecuting people. He says he's persecuting Jesus himself. Yeah, it's hard to kick against that, I would think. And he, trembling, was astonished and said, Lord, what will you have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. What was the effect on those people? They couldn't even talk. They were like, what just happened? Something happened. And they were in the presence of this happening. Oh, and we're going to see a little bit more of that. All right. Now go with me to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. See, now this message doesn't do anything for you unless you're interested in what I'm talking about. If you're interested in the power of God in such a way, it really shows up in supernatural, crazy, wild God power, holy power, then this message is for you. Right? This message is for you. You will be destroyed by the same power that you will be walking in. Do you understand? So whose purpose and plan is it going to be from that point forth? It's going to be his. Well, I'm going to make the decision whether I go to China or not. Because I am the Lord of my life. No. When you make Jesus, that's what happened to Paul. He said, Lord, Lord. When you have a Lord, do you tell them what you're going to do and what you're not going to do? From that point on, who's the Lord of your life, Alan? It's it for you. You just sold your soul to God and his glory. Goodbye to you. Right? You should play that song, Goodbye to You. You know, and all to Jesus I surrender, instead of when they're coming up to the, you know, to give their life to the Lord, it's just goodbye to you. Nice knowing you. That's the last we're going to see of you. Glory to God. Unless there's a resurrection of some kind of fleshly thing, and then the rest of us are going to surround you and try to beat that out of you anyway. This is all about being in God's holy living presence in power. And you can be there, but you got to live a certain way, right? You can't be connected to the ground. We talked about this before in holiness. It's all right. You can grab on the high wires if you want. You got to get there first. Yeehaw. My goodness, brother. Let's see here. Joshua 2, 9 and 10. Rahab. Anybody remember Rahab? And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. The terror of the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, had come upon them, and they were faint. They lost strength. They lost the will to fight. Do you see how this applies at all to people who are without? Part of this is within. Part of this fear is for you. But this fear is going to affect them where they no longer have the will to fight, because of the terror of the Lord coming on them. Do you see that? And then they won't put up a struggle anymore, and they'll just come in. They'll just give up. It's the same thing that happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. The terror of the Lord came on him, and he didn't fight. He just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? In the fear of the Lord is great revival. In the fear of the Lord is this power that will win masses of people as it comes on them. They lose the will to fight. You know, have you ever been trying to witness to somebody who just wanted to put up a fight?
Yes.
They knew every excuse in the book. Yes. I know about that, blah, 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 blah. You know? And it just go on and on. It's like, why even talk to them?
Right.
Let the fear of God get them. They'll lose the will to fight and they'll just say, Lord, they submit. They fall down. These people, their lives were at stake. Their physical lives, and they lost the will to fight because of the fear of God came on them. Just like me up on that tower, I was losing it. I was losing my, and it makes no logical sense. They lose all their logical arguments. The logical sense would be, hold on tighter, you ding dong. You fall from here, you're in trouble. But people are going to, the fear of the Lord is going to come on them. They're going to lose their will to resist the power of God. And then they will come in and their whole life will be destroyed. Glory to God. What kind of message you preaching here, brother? I'm preaching destruction from heaven. Right? The destruction is going to come on them and it'll ruin. I'm telling you, you're going to be ruined. You will be ruined. I'm being ruined as you look at me. I can tell, brother. You're looking ruined. I'm going to be ruined. You're all going to be ruined. Well, I wasn't expecting that. Well, as we press in and we press in, this is the power. It will come on you and change you, and it will literally wreck all of your plans, all of your purposes, and all you'll care about anymore is like the drug addict who just has to have another fix of his glory. Saw this thing on PBS or something where they were, it was in Holland where I think they're government sponsored to be on heroin. There's no heroin traffic because, you know, the government gives it to them. But these people, they're ruined. They are just ruined. They can't function normally. They can't go to work. They can't hold a job because at any given moment they're like, I gotta have more. Well, how does that apply to you? Because you're going to get so ruined by the presence of God, you just have to have more. And that's all you live for is more.
Yes.
You heard something on a CD, on a tape of preaching, and you're like, I got to have more. And so you listen to it again and again until it gets on the inside of you. You're like an addict that has to have that fix. And it's never good just to have the same level. You've got to have more than you had the last time because you're just not satisfied. Well, we're not going to be satisfied until we're completely wrecked in the presence of God, and this presence comes on other people and ruins them. It's like a big snowball of destruction coming from heaven. You understand? Get away. All of the things that you think and you hold up right now as being a great thing, doesn't matter, does it? It's gonna get rolled up in a snowball. Imagine this big snowball going through your house. No, not my, oh, no, and not that, oh, it just absorbs it all, and pretty soon you don't have anything and you don't care. Cause you got one thing. You sold all your treasures and you bought the field with the big thing in it.
Yes.
And it's worth more than all that other stuff anyway.
Right.
And you just don't care. How can you not care? What about your retirement fund and your pension? I don't care! I got God. What else? What can man do to me?
Yes.
He's got a bigger retirement fund.
Yes, he does.
Big.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, big. Let's prepare to be ruined by the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, just when I thought I couldn't get any more radical, I get a message like this. Hallelujah. This is it, though. Tell me. Is this it or what? This is it. This is what's going to happen to you. This is how God functions. You want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? It's the first commandment. How are you going to do that and care about anything else? You can't. It's the first commandment. People should be going, what? Who could do that? You can't until you're destroyed, until you're ruined, until all you want is Him. That sounds extreme. It is extreme. And you're going to be extreme. And then people are going to walk out of wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Because then you just destroyed their wheelchair.
Amen.
Right? That's what gets destroyed. I don't know. Do you understand that? It's stupid stuff you don't need anyway. It's poverty, it's sickness, it's sin, it's all this stupid stuff that you don't want anyway. Heaven destroys it. A manifestation of heaven destroys sickness. A manifestation of heaven destroys poverty. And like in Paul's plans, there it destroyed his stupid plans that were obviously from hell. It destroyed it. What was left? Lord. That's it. Lord. You think about people, you know, two things I heard somebody say this. What two words don't go together? No, Lord. You can't say no anymore. You lost that too. That was destroyed. But I used to like to say no a lot. Well, no, you can't. Not to him. You see that? Your will has been destroyed. What? No, you're not preaching free will anymore. You're right. You have the freedom to will to follow him. All right? We'll get into that. There's more here. All right. Glory be to God. Do you see how these people, the land, she was just telling them like it is. The land is in terror. They're just waiting for the day that you guys surround the city one more time and blow that insane trumpet. You're freaking us out with those things. These fight like normal people, but no, they just surround the city in silence day after day. Yeah! You're driving us crazy, and they were in terror. And it's what killed them. They were slain by the fear of God. They shook. What happened to the walls of Jericho? The walls shook. The walls were even scared of them. Proverbs chapter 1. Glory be to God forever. Do we have a choice? Did Paul have a choice? He could have. He could have tried to hold up those letters. Say, I'm taking you too. You're Jesus, you're going to prison too. He didn't have the fortitude to do that anymore, did he? He was wrecked. He was destroyed. I mean, it's almost absurd to even think that, if not completely absurd. All right, glory be to God. Proverbs, let me get there. I'm going to show you how important the fear of the Lord is. All right? Are you ready for this? Verse 22, chapter 1. Proverbs, verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your what? Calamity. I will mock when fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not, what? Choose the fear of the Lord. Here they were being presented with the fear of the Lord and with his words. They chose not. What did he say was coming? Destruction. And that's what I want to tell you today. Destruction is coming, and you have a choice. You can either be destroyed and be established by God in his glory and his power, or you can choose destruction that just plain wipes you out, and that's it for you. Do you understand? This is what's coming. And when the power of God is presented to you, let's keep making the right choice for him. For him. Continue to be changed. Continue to turn at his reproof, and he will what? Pour out his spirit on you more and more. Prove yourself as one who is willing to change and to turn whenever he says turn and to go wherever he says go. Why? Because of the fear of the Lord. That's what he said this was. Do you understand? I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words to you. Glory be to God. He says, when your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, because that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. This is on the opposite side. You don't want to be there. And the key to that is to turn at his reproof. Now look down to chapter 2. He's going to show you the opposite here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if you cry up after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand what? The fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes understanding. If you cry out for the power of God, you cry out for wisdom, you cry out for knowledge, you're crying, it says lifting up your voice. That means you open up your mouth and you say, God, I want more wisdom. I want to be changed. I want to know you like nothing else. He says, and you'll understand what? The fear of the Lord. On the right side of this fear. And yes, you're still going to be destroyed. And I hope you see that. In the power of God, there's destruction for everybody. One to evil, another to good. It's good to be destroyed by God. That's what we're looking for. The destruction of the power and the presence of God that comes into your life and just wipes you clean, my friend. Right? Yeah. This is the way it is. If you will receive my words, and this is what I want you to understand. These first two verses, what is he talking about? What is he saying here? Whose choice is it? He said they did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's where the crux was. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. What do we have to do? We have to choose the fear of the Lord. How did he say we get the fear of the Lord? By lifting up our voice. By seeking for her as people do for money. Does anybody spend all their time looking for money? It's the way of the world to have more, more. I want more, more. What do you want more, more of? Money? Hidden treasures? No, I want more, more of the power of God and the fear of the Lord. Well, that sounds fanatical. It is fanatical, but it's scriptural. The more fear that's on you, the more power you will have, and you'll be able to walk in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And you may stand up in fear and trembling, just like Paul, and your words will be in demonstration of the Spirit and power, and people will be able to get out of wheelchairs in Walmart or wherever you are. Ezekiel 33. I really want to establish this in you today, okay? This is very hard to go on to the next step until this step is established. I hope you realize that there's destruction waiting for you. Anybody want to receive that? Come up front. Glory to God. This destruction awaiting you. But I like my stuff. Well, what did Jesus say about the fire, Angie? Right? The fire is going to try what? Whatever's good wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned. What worth is it anyway? But if it survives, survives what? This destruction that comes from heaven. Well, isn't that after the fourth trumpet and the third horse? I don't know. I don't know any of that. And it doesn't matter. The point is it comes with God's presence and power on your life. It'll be burned off then. Then you won't be judged when the other judgment comes, whenever it comes.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay now or pay later.
That's right. pay the price and pay legitimate prices now. You pay legitimate prices, you can go higher and higher and higher in the presence of God. You seem like you're high in the presence of God. Thank you. And we're going to get higher in the presence of God. I see you drag up all your stuff with you up one of those ladders. I don't think so. I'll leave it down there on the ground. Jesus is Lord. Where did I say? Ezekiel 33:11. Hallelujah. Now I want you to hold that right there. And while your finger's there, also turn to Psalms 116 and verse 15. Can you do that? You got more than one finger, right?
Yes.
All right. If you don't, use like your elbow or something. Now, don't read them. I want to read them. All right. 116. Okay. Now, hold 116 and go over to your Ezekiel one. Let me read that first. I say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way. And what? And live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die? This is what's waiting for the wicked. He's telling, remember in Proverbs, he's calling out to them in the streets, turn at my reproof. Turn. If you don't turn, there's judgment waiting for you. Fear's going to come on you and you will be destroyed. Well, can't God just make it plain? He is making it plain. How much more plain can you get? Turn now or destruction's coming. Then he goes, turn now and destruction will be good for you. Right? He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why would you die? Pretty plain, right? Okay, now turn back over to Psalms 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, hold on, brother. Are you telling me that God doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he has pleasure in the death of his saints? What kind of a crazy book is this? It's because you're not seeing it. This destruction, this fear that comes on both the good and the ungood. Is that right? The good and the evil. That's better. Them's are ungood people. It comes on the good and the evil, the same fear, the same power, has two different effects. One is what? Destruction. Why would you be destroyed? The other is a good destruction. It destroys all of your garbage and leaves you with nothing but good.
Yes.
But either way, you're destroyed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He has pleasure in the death of his saints. Why? Because their death, their destruction, their ruining, so to speak, is a good thing. When the stuff is destroyed off of them, whatever it is, then what's left is good. You get that? All right. Then I'll go to a real familiar scripture here. He that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6, verse 7. What? Know you not that he was baptized into his death? You're baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus. You're baptized into this death so that you may live. That sounds like strong words, brother. It is. You got to go through the death and the destruction if you're going to have the life. And you can meditate on this. This is why it's so precious in the sight of God to have his saints die. And I understand, oh, yes, brother, no, that means when they die, they go to be with him like little cherubs. No, it means when the things are just destroyed, they're dead to themselves. That's what Romans is talking about. When you're baptized into his death. That doesn't mean they just held you down there until you stopped kicking. It means you were died to the world. You died to sin. And what are you raised to? Righteousness. It's all about righteousness now. Why can't you partake in sin? Because I have nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with me. I'm dead to it. Now I live unto righteousness and the power of God, and I'm clean, and God can open up his glory gates and just pour out on me whenever he wants. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, let's turn over there. Sometimes, you know, let's just take the time. It is better sometimes to let your eyes fall on these things so you can see it. It's right there in God's holy written word. 1 Corinthians 1:29. Get to know this book. It's all you got. When you're dead, it's all you got. You got nothing else, but you got this book. That's all you need. What else do you need? It's all in the book. Hallelujah. That'll bless you later. Glory be to God forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. I'm going to read down into this so it can shake you. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Who's writing this, by the way? Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He was one of these guys. He was one of the mighty. He was one of the strong. He was one of the wise, wasn't he? But it all died on the road to Damascus. For you see, you're calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, many mighty, many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What is the end result of this destruction and death that we're talking about? Is to get rid of your flesh. So that there's no flesh. It says right here, no flesh is going to glory in his presence. And we're talking about the presence and the power of the living God. Well, guess what's not going to be there? Your flesh and your stuff. But my stuff is nice. I don't care how nice it is. When we start glorying, and that's why I'm going to keep putting an emphasis on, where are we glorifying here in this church? We're glorifying the living Christ. Nothing else. His stuff, his blood, his works. Not me, not my stuff, not my works. Him. Because no flesh will glory in his presence. If we want the presence of the living God to come here and hover and stay and to vibrate and shake you and change you and destroy you, and I'm praying for it, God destroy him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're going to keep praying it until this really rattles your cage. It's like poking the bear and rattling the cage. Where do I get these phrases from? Glory to God. This is what's going to happen. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. None. But I'm so good looking. Well, you're not nearly as good looking as the glory of God, right? I hope that people aren't coming to look at me. Well, I'm pretty sure nobody is. But if they were, that would have to be destroyed. Do you understand? So if we choose, this is where we're going right here. If we choose to have it destroyed now by our choice, remember, we can choose the fear of the Lord. They chose not the fear of the Lord and it destroyed them. We choose the fear of the Lord. It's still going to destroy us, but we choose it so we get to have survival on the other side. But either way, you're going to be destroyed. Did I get that point across yet? Or do I got to go over it again? Let's just see each other on the other side. Let's see each other on the other side of this destruction of our flesh. And believe me, we're much better looking on the other side. Because we don't have a lot of garbage we're trying to pull through. It's going to get burnt up anyway. Isaiah chapter 58. We get to choose, Alan. We get to choose. You got a little resentment towards somebody in your head? Choose to get rid of it. You got some nasty thing you like to come out your mouth? Choose to get rid of it. Choose to change. Welcome to Change Church. We get to change. I don't care what it is. You get to change. And if you choose to change and turn at his reproof, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you'll know the power of the living God in your life. Choose that. Choose to change. I'm convinced. We don't know how much these little bitty things are holding us back. You know, you got this big dirigible. Once again, where am I coming up with this stuff? Dirigible. You got a big giant dirigible, which is a lighter than aircraft, right? It's filled with helium or something, or they used to. They don't fly these very often anymore. You don't see them. It doesn't take much to hold one of those things down unless there's a strong gust of wind or a whirlwind, right? But it doesn't take much to hold one down. And the difference between that thing sitting on the ground or going up could be what? One little bag of sand. You'd think this massive flying machine is being held down by just that one little thing. You don't know how close you are to the power and presence of God. You just got to get rid of those little things. Get rid of them. It's holding you back. Does that make sense? And it might just be some stupid little insignificant thing. You got to forgive so-and-so or walk in love towards whoever. I don't know what it is, right? Unless God reveals it to me. But the point is that it's probably little bitty things that are holding you back. It's not big corrections. My goodness, you're in here and you're listening to me preach for an hour. How much is going to, you know, you would have got up and left a long time ago if it was something big. But it's the little things, right? One of the little foxes that spoil the vines, right? Yeah. Just little bitty things sometimes. All right. So let's look at this. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you what 1 Peter 5:6 says. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Where's the focus in that verse? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Turn you at my reproof. When God reproves you, turn. Be quick to change. Quick to repent. I'm sorry. For what? I don't know, but I'm just sorry. Quick to change, quick to repent, all the time. Because you don't want any of those little things to slow you down. This lighter than aircraft is beginning to move. And we don't want to be held down by anything. So we're going to let everything be changed, everything be destroyed in the presence of God, right? Because we want to be on the right side of destruction. Verse 6. Isaiah 58:6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is God talking. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. And I'm telling you, you're going to need to break every, let the power of God come on you and break every yoke. Let it break everything that may be holding you back. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry that you may bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest him naked, that thou cover him, that thou not hide thyself from thine own flesh. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. You're like, what is that talking about? I'm taking it to another level. We're going to take this to another level. Don't hide yourself from your flesh. Let your flesh be corrected. This is what no flesh is going to glory in his presence. We talked a little bit about you've got to be willing to allow the people around you to change. You've got to be willing to allow me to change. Well, you never used to preach like this before. Well, so what? I'm changing. We're all on this boat together and you're going to change and I'm going to change. And you may not have got it in the past. Big whoopity ding dong. I didn't get it in the past either. But we're getting it now and we're changing. Every day, changing to something completely different, and we're being destroyed by the presence of God. Everything, your flesh destroyed by the presence of God. This is what he's saying. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Re-reward. Then thou shalt call and he will answer. Then thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from you the midst of the from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger and the what? Speaking vanity. Stop pointing your finger at everybody else. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Get that stupid log out of your own eye. Stop pointing your finger at everybody else and stop speaking vanity. And we went on this line a little while ago. What is vanity? Anything contrary to what God says is vain. And it's not going to contain the power of God that we're going towards. It's speaking God's word only. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. You won't even know darkness anymore, my friends. Darkness will be a thing of the past once you've been destroyed. But we choose this. Do you understand? This is a choice for us. We choose to get so close to God's power that he just destroys everything. He destroys our flesh. He destroys our motives that are wrong. He destroys everything that's out of line with his holy written word. And we turn at his reproof when he says, don't say anything. So we don't say anything. Or he says, say this, and we say that. We speak only what God says about our situation, our circumstance. Why? We're being reproved and we're turning. How do you turn the ship, does James say? With the tongue. The ship turns with a little rudder. How are you going to turn at his reproof? You're going to do it with your words and with your mouth. That's a whole nother message, but glory be to God forever. The Lord, verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. How is this going to happen, people? It's only if he's with you continually. Not here and there and a little more here and a little less there. It's continually the Lord is with you. That means you're in his presence. You're in the fear of the Lord. You've been destroyed to everything else and now he's guiding you continually, my friends. That's a really good thing. And satisfy your soul in drought. Make fat your bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell. Do you see what's happened to this person? They've taken on a new job. They died to their old ways. They've died to what they did before. You may have done something before. You may have been an architect or whatever. But all of a sudden, all that stuff doesn't mean anything to you anymore. And you've become a new something. They shall call you repairer of the breach. Restorer of streets to dwell in. Not going to call you accountant anymore. Because that's insignificant. Does this make sense? You've been destroyed. Your past has been destroyed in the presence of God. Glory be to God. And this is a choice. Let's read on. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Sounds to me like somebody died. Somebody was destroyed. Somebody chose this destruction for themselves because they wanted that which was available to them, which they could not have on their own. The fear of the Lord is what brings all this about. You will know the fear of the Lord. You will be destroyed in the fear of the Lord. Sorry. But it's okay. Because what comes on the other side is all this wonderful, glorious stuff. The Lord himself guiding you continually. And I'm not even going to go into the whole fast thing here because the fast part of it is going to be specific to every one of you. You mean you're just telling me to fast food? Sure. I'm telling you to fast food. Not fast food, fast food. No. But there's other things here that I think are equally as important. Not speaking your own words. Ow! What do you mean? That's even harder, I would think, sometimes than just eating another sandwich, right? Is I wanted to say it this way, but I can't because I'm fearing God. This is how it all comes back to the fear of the Lord and Him literally destroying you. I'm excited about it. You're excited about being destroyed? Yes, I am. And all of my stuff too, glory be to God. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Who's going to cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth? Who? The Lord. He's not going to do it if you're going to bring all that other stuff with you. Qualification is get rid of it, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. You'll be my son and daughter. I'll guide you continually, and I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. That's pretty good. Jacob was doing all right by the time he ended. Glory be to God. I realize I use a lot of scriptures, but you know what? Yay. Too bad. Jeremiah 29:13. And this, you know, if you underline these things, you can go home, meditate on them, and get even more revelation. I'm just throwing things at you so you can. I have to do the same thing, because after I say the stuff, now I have to go and live it. Woe be unto me. Guess where destruction gets to come first? Hallelujah. I get to be destroyed too. So if every time I come up here I look a little bit different, well, so be it. That just means the old man's dying. Dying the death. Living the death of self. Hallelujah. And hopefully you'll just see more and more Jesus shining through, and pretty soon you won't even see me at all. Because I didn't want to come here in the first place. No. All right. What did I say? Jeremiah 29:13. You probably already have this underlined. Let me read up from 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Isn't that amazing? God says He knows the thoughts that He thinks toward you. Why does He have to tell us this? That should make common sense. God knows the thoughts that He thinks towards us. Somebody must have been saying the opposite of that. He doesn't even know what He thinks about us. Oh, He knows what He thinks about you. Part of that's contained into this destructive power that's coming your way. I hope you understand that. His destructive power is coming your way. On the glory train. You ever see those things where the old time, I'm thinking of Rocky and Bullwinkle when I was a kid. Anybody remember them? And who's that other guy? Who was the Mountie guy there? Remember him? Dudley Do-Right. Glory to God. Thank you. Woo. Dudley Do-Right, and there was always somebody, maybe Boris and Natasha or something, right? Tying somebody to a railway train. Destruction was coming. And then Dudley Do-Right, riding his horse backwards, would somehow get there in the nick of time and untie her, and she would be delivered from the train. I'm tying you to the tracks, my friends. And I'm not coming to untie you. We're expecting that glory train to just ruin you. And I can only say that because we've established what's happening here, right? The glory chain is going to come. It's going to ruin you. Nobody's going to deliver you. You can get up yourself if you want, but don't do it. It's much better on the other side. Having the glory of God run you over. My goodness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about it. All right, let me read this. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. I give you to give you an expected end. Do you understand? He's already told people that He's going to bring destruction on them. But within the destruction is what? Good, not evil. This is His thought towards destruction, destroying your stuff. To give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. What's the expected end? This. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found of you. This is the price you pay. This is the price you pay. Strap yourself to that track and don't let go. Keep seeking. Keep turning it as reproof. Keep pressing in with a higher tenacity. Yes, destruction is there, but it is a good end. It's to a good end that you don't have to say anything bad about anybody anymore. Yeah. Right? There's a good end to that. It's being removed, a tongue that speaks evil, a tongue that speaks things that are not according to God's word. The expected end of the destruction of that part of your tongue is good, not evil. Right? But you got to seek Him with all your heart. All right. Glory be to God forever. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. We have an expected end. I expect, and we are believing and expecting for your glorious presence to come in and literally destroy everything that we have to do with. We're expecting this because the expected end is your glory, and that's what we want more than anything else. And we seek you with all our heart. And we allow ourselves to be changed. We allow ourselves to be stripped from things that may be holding us back. And we dedicate ourselves anew to the presence and power of the living God right today, right here, right now. And Father, I'm asking you that this week, during the week times and the night seasons, let these people's ears be opened that they may hear your voice calling them to the greater things of the Spirit of the living God. And I release that in the name of Jesus. Let them go and be fed by the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Mon dege grusha slahehi bro ve ve. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.